WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy here in Atlantic and 45 degrees. We look for skies to be mostly sunny today with a high around 77. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In an update to a story we brought you last hour here on KJAN, authorities in Montgomery County and Mills counties are investigating the theft and destruction of a vehicle taken from Red Oak. The father of 29-year-old Jessica Apley told KJAN News his daughter was notified about the incident early this morning by the Red Oak Police Department. Officials in Red Oak had been contacted by authorities in Mills County, who indicated Apley's fire-damaged 1999 Chevy Cavalier was located just south of the former Ponderosa truck stop and cafe on Highway 34, east of Glenwood. The vehicle sustained extensive damage and appeared to have been a total loss. The incident remains under investigation by the Red Oak Police Department, along with the Mills and Montgomery County Sheriff's Departments. News time is 8:01.
Great sermon, huh? Really got me thinking.
Oh, I guess I missed it, but then again, I have a hard time hearing the pastor.
Really? You sit in the second row.
Well, you know, I...
Yes, I do know. I used to struggle, just like you're saying. But I finally went to go see Doug Leonard and had my hearing tested. Found out there was a good reason I couldn't hear the sermons.
How often do you leave your Sunday services and not have any idea of what the minister said? Or sit through an important meeting and go away wondering what you were supposed to learn for your job? The problem could be that you have a hearing loss. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. For most patients, hearing loss is usually something that takes place over time, and you don't realize it's happening until you find yourself struggling to hear things that are important to you. Quit struggling. Call and schedule an evaluation today. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Manning, Autumn, and Carroll.
I only wish I had gone sooner.
A western Iowa store where a clerk was attacked with a stun gun in robberies just days apart is now under police scrutiny. Exotic Gifts in Council Bluffs and other stores with the same name in the Omaha, Nebraska area were raided Thursday by agents with the Federal Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives Bureau. The Council Bluffs store's clerk was led away in handcuffs during the raids. Federal authorities would not say what agents were seeking in the raid. But the newspaper, Council Bluffs Daily Nonpareil, said that several boxes were removed from the store. Only 2 weeks earlier, the clerk had been repeatedly shocked with a stun gun in back-to-back robberies. Two Omaha men have been arrested on suspicion of burglary in those robberies. An interstate reconstruction project in western Iowa is among 10 finalists for a national award. Radio Iowa's Pat Curtis reports.
The Missouri River flooding in 2011 closed 77 miles of highways and interstates between Hamburg and Sioux City. The most highly traveled roadway section to close was a 3-mile section of Interstate 680 connecting Iowa and Nebraska. That section of roadway was destroyed after being underwater for 4 months. It reopened to traffic in early November after just over a month of construction.
The I-680 project, I mean, it was quite an amazing feat to get that open in 34 days with the destruction from the flood, and the project's been nominated for multiple awards.
And Troy German with the DOT says the I-680 project is up for a People's Choice Award in the America's Transportation Awards ahead of schedule small project category. Iowans can cast their vote via the link provided at radioiowa.com. The winning project will be awarded a $10,000 prize, which the winning state can use toward an education grant in the transportation field or to support a community project or charity. I'm Pat Curtis.
Officials of the Iowa National Guard say the 132nd Fighter Wing of the Iowa Air National Guard will be conducting an operational readiness exercise beginning this weekend. The exercise, scheduled to take place September 15th through the 21st, is designed to increase the unit's readiness for future domestic and combat operations at the Des Moines Air Base, which is located at the Des Moines International Airport. In addition, increased flight operations will be conducted during an exercise in the Temporary Military Operating Area, or MOA, designed to provide realistic training. The MOA is situated in northwest Iowa and extends west from Carroll to Charter Oak, north to Sanborn, east to Whittemore, and then southwest to Carroll. F-16 aircraft will be flying extended hours of operations from 7 a.m. to 1 a.m. on the 15th through the 21st at altitudes as low as 4,500 feet. Given the lower altitudes, the aircraft may be visible and audible through the temporary operating area. Pilots from around Iowa and the Midwest will gather in Cass County this weekend for the annual Fly Iowa Air Show. The free event takes place Saturday at the Atlantic Municipal Airport and begins with a brunch from 8 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Gary Pellet is the local chairperson for the event. He says there will be at least four World War II-era P-51 Mustangs on hand, including one owned and flown by Atlantic resident Mike Henningsen. The Mustang, Pellet says, has a very distinctive sound.
When the Mustangs tune up particularly, almost 1,500 horsepower each. And when you stop and think about those, what amazing machines they are, because, you know, they're early 40s vintage, were very important in the war effort, what the Tuskegee Airmen flew. Yeah, it literally shakes the ground a little bit when they're doing their thing.
But the Mustangs aren't the only vintage aircraft to take to the sky Saturday. Gary Moss, the air boss for the event, says a bomber scheduled to make an appearance can produce 5,400 horsepower.
So in addition to that, we have an A-26 bomber that's going to come up from the south. We've got an acrobatic act by Greg Kuntz that's coming up out of Alabama. He's one of the top performers in the country. He will actually do two shows. He'll do an acrobatic act, and then he comes back and does a kind of a special comedy act a little bit later on.
And the air show runs from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. There will also be some static displays on the ground for people to enjoy, according to Moss.
Everything from aircraft to helicopters to aviation vendors. Of course, we're going to have food out there for people, too.
Depending on the wind conditions, a tethered hot air balloon may be available, along with helicopter rides for a nominal fee. There will be plenty of activities for persons of all ages to enjoy. Moss says the theme for the event in Atlantic is heritage and homecoming.
It really sets this Fly Iowa apart from any of the other Fly Iowas in the state of Iowa in the past. And it's heritage from people in southwest Iowa, Atlantic area, that have an aviation career or an aviation experience, either one. And we've asked a lot of people to respond to us by writing up something about their aviation experiences, their career, their activities in life that have involved aviation. We've got a large number of those back, and we're asking many of them to come as a homecoming situation. At the terminal building, during the show, they will be these bios that these folks have written up and sent back to us, as well as a number of people around the airport during that day that will have name tags on that will identify them as part of the Heritage and Homecoming honorees.
One person flying in for the event lives in Medford, Oregon, who is originally from the Bridgewater area. He flew as a pilot for TWA and will continue in his aircraft to Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, for another air show following the Atlantic show. Moss reminds those planning to attend the event to bring their lawn chair or blanket for your comfort while you enjoy the show. Officials at the Cass County Home Care and Cass County Hospice have announced that both facilities recently received national recognition for demonstrating excellence in performance measures and quality of care. Cass County Home Care has been ranked in the top 5% of the home health agencies in the U.S. by a recent Health Insight report. The ranking is an improvement from the Health Insight report, which was released in March, which listed Cass County Home Care in the top 7%. And Cass County Hospice received an excellent report from the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization's Family Evaluation of Hospice Care Survey Results. The report was developed by the NHPCO with an extensive input from hospices that participate in the data collection and reporting for the survey. The surveys are sent to family members of hospice patients who received care. Cass County Hospice received strong marks and satisfactions from the survey respondents with a composite score of 92%. Additionally, Cass County Hospice achieved the highest level, top 10% of hospices, in 18 out of 27 categories which were measured on the survey. Cass County Home Care, an integrated home health provider, is part of the Iowa Health Home Care, which is an affiliated network of providers. Iowa Health Home Care is part of the Iowa Health System. And taking a look at world headlines this hour here on KJAN, hundreds of Afghans have been protesting in the eastern city of Jalalabad during an anti-Islam film. Some shouted death to America and called on their president to cut relations with the United States. There have also been protests in Indonesia, Yemen, Egypt, and Libya, where four Americans were killed in a Tuesday attack on the U.S. consulate. A Virginia man who plotted to detonate a suicide bomb at the U.S. Capitol appears in federal court in Alexandria for sentencing today. Amin al-Khalifi faces from 25 to 30 years in prison under a plea agreement. He was arrested in an undercover sting. More expensive gasoline drove up consumer prices in August by the most in 3 years, but outside energy inflation was actually tame. The Labor Department says consumer prices rose a seasonally adjusted 0.6% last month. That was the first increase since March. Higher gas prices accounted for 80% of that increase. Food prices rose 0.2%. The government also reports that U.S. retail sales rose in August from July because consumers paid higher gas prices and bought more cars and trucks. And finally in the news, negotiations to end the teacher strike in Chicago continue today as more than 350,000 students remain out of the classroom for a fifth day. When contract talks ended at 1 o'clock this morning, the school board president said both sides had worked past the contentious issue of basing teacher evaluations partly on student performance. The teachers union says it hopes students can be back in the classrooms by Monday. News time is 8:10.
Great sermon, huh? Really got me thinking.
Oh, I guess I missed it, but then again, I have a hard time hearing the pastor.
Really? You sit in the second row?
Well, you know, I...
Yes, I do know. I used to struggle, just like you're saying. But I finally went to go see Doug Leonard and had my hearing tested. Found out there was a good reason I couldn't hear the sermons.
How often do you leave your Sunday services and not have any idea of what the minister said? Or sit through an important meeting and go away wondering what you were supposed to learn for your job? The problem could be that you have a hearing loss. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. For most patients, hearing loss is usually something that takes place over time, and you don't realize it's happening until you find yourself struggling to hear things that are important to you. Quit struggling. Call and schedule an evaluation today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Manning, Ottawa, and Carroll.
I only wish I had gone sooner.
In our funeral announcements, Martha Louise Grover, age 97, of Atlantic, died Sunday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Services for Martha Grover will be today at 11 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Gerald Herrick, age 96, of Greenfield, died Sunday at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Gerald Herrick will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Donna Jean Brandis, age 82, of Corydon and formerly of Oakland, died Tuesday in Corydon. Funeral services for Donna Brandis will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Oakland Christian Church. Reek and Veith Funeral Home in Oakland has the arrangements. Vern M. Richards, age 94, of Bridgewater, died Tuesday at the Greenfield Manor. A Masonic funeral ceremony for Vern Richards, followed by a memorial service, will take place Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Carl United Methodist Church. Iowa Cremation Society is assisting the family with arrangements. Patricia Patty Olson of Joppa, Maryland, died September 7th. Graveside services for Patty Olson will be tomorrow at 1:30 at the Cuppies Grove Cemetery in rural Shelby County. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. And Darlene Hansen, age 84, who's formerly of Elkhorn, died on August 13th in Des Moines. A memorial service for Darlene Hansen will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Beaverdale. McLaren Rest Haven Chapel and Mortuary in West Des Moines has the arrangements. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.